Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother
Keith. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession, of what we say. He works with what we say. That's why we start off the class saying something. And it's easy to be influenced by what you see and feel and just talk what you see and feel. But that requires no faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that means you'll be speaking differently. If you feel bad and weak, well, just natural, human thinking, you say, man, I feel bad. I feel weak. But the scripture says, let the weak say, I am strong. Well, you don't look strong. You don't feel strong. But that's all the reason why you need to say,
yes.
I am strong. Get your words working for you instead of against you. And one thing you got to watch about is talking need. Mm-hmm. We need this. We have to have this. We need this. There's no faith in these statements. You're basically saying we don't have it. We don't have it. We don't have it. We need it, but we don't have it. We've got to have it, but we don't have it. We need it. We need it. We need it. We don't have it. Not working for you. Working against you. But because the whole world talks this way and thinks this way, most people don't even notice it. Oh, but the scriptures tell us that faith, like we said, calls those things that be not as though they were. Faith declares the finished product from the beginning. And so when you begin to say, not we need it, we've got to have it, how can we get it? You say, I call every bill paid.
That's right.
I call every need met.
Yes.
We will have everything we need. The Lord's ordering our steps. He's directing our paths. When you start talking like this, you give the Holy Spirit something to work with. You're agreeing with the Lord. You're agreeing with His words. So everybody said out loud, the greater one is in me.
The greater one is in me.
I'm an overcomer.
I'm
gaining victories.
I'm
getting answers.
I'm
blessed.
I'm blessed.
And victorious.
And victorious.
Now.
Today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you so much that this is true. That we can believe it, we can know it, we can hear it, we can say it, we can do it. And we reach out to you. Lord, stir our hearts and our minds with your words, with your spirit, and put your words in our mouth and our minds and show us how to speak and think and live and do. And then we thank you in advance for watching over your word when we speak it and performing it in our lives to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Say it again. I'm getting answers.
I'm getting answers.
Today.
Today.
We've been on a series for a number of weeks that we've been calling Faith for Provision. You need faith in every area of your life. The just shall live by faith. So no matter what it is, the answer to 10,000 issues that might come up in a day or a week is faith. What are we going to do? We're going to trust God.
Yes.
We're going to look to God.
Yes.
We're going to believe God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Faith. And faith is the victory. Faith is how we win. Faith is how we receive. Faith is how we overcome. And so we've been talking about now for a number of weeks, faith for provision. And we've made the statement that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now that's a statement.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big statement. That's an all-inclusive statement. Let me say it again. Abundant provision. Not just provision, but abundant provision is always, always God's will for who? Well, what about the unlucky ones? We don't believe in luck. And certainly don't accept unluck. We believe in blessed. Blessed, and that's what we've been talking about. And so we've been giving one after another 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure that abundant provisions always God's will for us all. We started, our first reason was from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, a lot of people know the 23rd Psalm. Most church-going people have heard it at some point. But you can just go right over something and miss it. Did he say, the Lord is my shepherd? I'm often in lack.
No.
I usually run out.
No.
What did he say? I shall not want. Now, that same word translated want here is translated in other places in the same King James Bible, lack. Same word. So listen to other translations of it. One says, the Lord is my shepherd, I do not lack. Another one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Another says, the Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Another one says, the Lord takes care of me as his sheep. I will not be without any good thing. Another one says, the Lord is my shepherd, I will always have everything I need. Why don't you put that in your mouth? We've been talking about confession. Said out loud, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
I shall not lack.
I shall not lack.
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I am never in need.
I am never in need.
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I will always
have everything
I need. Now, that's not my idea. That's not somebody else's idea. This is Scripture. This is it is written. Is the Lord your shepherd?
Yes.
Is it his will for you to have provision?
Yes.
Abundant provision.
Yes.
Don't let anybody convince you of anything else. This is truth, and the truth will make and keep you free. And so that was our first point. Our second one was the goodness of God, then the fatherhood of God, the creation of God, God's will in heaven. You know, if God likes poverty, you'd have it in heaven. Huh? If it pleased him, heaven would be bleak and barren. But have you read about heaven?
No.
Oh, whoa. Over the top. If you don't like gold, if you don't like big jewelry, if you don't, you're going to have an adjustment. Because there's gold everywhere. Is that right? Giant stones and pearls, and God likes flash. He likes, yeah, he likes shiny. Huh? So you better get on board. Come on, get on board. We talked about God being the God of Abraham, how he made him rich, what he did for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We talked about we are the seed of Abraham. We talked about the blessing of tithing. The Lord didn't say, give tithes and offerings and go broke. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven, pour out blessing. You don't have room to receive. He says, you'll run out of room to put it all. That has happened in our lives in numerous times. God is good. You just, you know, and the thing is, you don't have to keep it all. You sow it.
Amen.
You give.
Amen.
And you still need more room. Honor and riches and wisdom and wealth. These are the will of God. We talked about being an imitator of God. We talked about him being the great I am that never changes. And then the names of God. He used to be I am the Lord who sees ahead and meets your need. I am El Shaddai. Well, he never changes, and nobody has a right to turn the great I am into I was or I used to be. We talked about him being the God of restoration. We talked about him providing in the wilderness. He demonstrated that he could provide food and water and care and protection for millions of people where there was no food at all in the wilderness, in the midst of a barren, desolate place. He brought bread out of the sky. He brought water out of the rock. I mean, just demonstrating. And he did it for decades. Said out loud,
My God
can provide for me,
anywhere.
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 See, don't let the devil lie to you and say, well, not here. I mean, you won't be able to do that here. If God sends you there, he can provide for you there. It doesn't matter if everything around you is running out and falling apart. That's one reason God would send you there, to be a witness and to show how real he is and how good he is. God can and will provide for you anywhere, in any situation. And then we got down to number 17, the covenant blessing. How that God made covenant with his people, with Abraham and the seed of Abraham, which turned into the whole nation of Israel. How that he entered into covenant with them. He gave the Ten Commandments and then all the statutes and all the ordinances. And part of this covenant, a big part of it, was blessing. He said, if you'll listen to me, you'll be my people. I'll be your God. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he said, I'll protect you. I'll guard you. I'll guide you. I'll feed you. I'll heal you. I'll bless you.
Yes.
This is blessing. Yes. Has God changed since then?
No.
Has his will changed? Has his plan changed? And so we camped on that a while. And then we got into reason number 18, which was the other side of the covenant. He said, if you don't listen to me, if you reject me, if you replace me with other gods, then all these curses are going to come on you. And it was the exact opposite of being blessed. He said, you'll be cursed and I'm going to paraphrase again, you won't be protected. You'll be sick with all kinds of diseases. You'll be in lack. People will come and steal your stuff and you won't be able to stop it. And you'll be on the bottom and not the top. You'll be the tail and not the head. You'll have to reach out and ask people for help and you won't be able to help. This is a curse. I said, this is a curse. But the good news is we've been redeemed. So go to Galatians, the third chapter. Galatians chapter 3. And let's look at it again. Now, if you haven't been with us, we've already covered quite a few lessons on this. Go to faithschool.org, and there are hundreds of faith lessons there just waiting on you. You can watch them. You can listen to them. You can download them, take them with you. No charge. Won't cost you anything. There's no requirement. There's no commitment required of you. Because of the Lord's goodness and all our partners sowing, it's all covered. Take advantage of it. Use it. And you'll get caught up with us. You need to know about these previous 17 reasons. Amen. And the things that came before that. So go check it out. Faithschool.org. And like I said, we're down to number 18 today. That we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Because, number 18, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Galatians 3 and 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Is that you?
Yes.
Do you have faith in Jesus?
Yes.
Then we see by reading this chapter and other places, that makes you of the seed of Abraham, mm-hmm, and an heir of the promise and a beneficiary of the blessing.
Yes, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's worth more shouting than what we're doing right now. This is a big deal. He said, verse 10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. There was never anything wrong with the law. Romans says the law is good and spiritual and holy and just. It's perfect. It's right. The problem with the law is people came short of it. Mm-hmm. They didn't keep it. Or maybe they kept part of it, didn't keep other parts of it, and that results in you getting the curse. And so because that happened with everybody that came, the Lord had to fix it for us. And so Jesus came as a human being and kept the law. He never violated it. He never sinned, but voluntarily took our place as to be cursed because we were cursed. He said, verse 12, the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us. Not going to, not soon to, not in the process of, hath, has already redeemed us from the curse of the law. Said out loud, Christ, the anointed one, has redeemed me. From what? From what? From the curse of the law. A lot of people stop short of that. They've heard, church-going people have heard they're redeemed and even sing about it and make confessions about it, but oftentimes do not know what they've been redeemed from. People say, well, you know, from hell. You have been saved from hell. You could shout about that if that was the only benefit the rest of your life, but that's not all. That's not all he said. You've been redeemed. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So if you don't know what that is, you don't know your redemption. You don't understand your redemption. You might say, well, does it make any difference? It certainly does, because the devil is a thief and a liar. And he will come and try to work things in your life that he has no right to do. And if you don't know it and you're ignorant of it and you won't resist him, then you'll have things you should not have. But didn't the Bible say, resist the devil, right? And he'll flee from you. Well, that's not something that God does for you. It's not something I can do for you. You got to do that for yourself. You resist, the understood subject is you. You resist the devil and he will flee from you. Say it out loud,
I must
resist the devil. Now you don't wait till you see something, somebody in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork to say, oh, I got to resist him. The enemy is very crafty. He's very tricky. He's very subtle. He doesn't come as the devil. He always comes in some sly, deceptive way. He never comes to the front door. He's always trying to get through a window, through the basement access. The Bible warns us about his trickery. And so one of the things he preys on is people's ignorance. Yeah. Which is one of the reasons why we have faith school. Is that right? So that we spend time in the Word and we are enlightened and we are in the know and we are not ignorant of Satan's devices against us. And one of the big things that you need to know and be absolutely completely convinced and fully persuaded of is that you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. What does that mean? I don't have to have it. I shouldn't have it. Right? Say it out loud. I am.
I have been
redeemed from the curse of the law. He said Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And the way it happened was he was made a curse for us. Now that's some of the things we're going to talk about this week, is what happened with that and how that happened. He was made a curse for us. Now, he didn't sin personally, and so he didn't deserve to be cursed personally. There was no transgression with him, none. He always did the things that pleased the Father, period. But he voluntarily took our place and was made a curse. Now, the Bible tells us that in 2 Corinthians, well, in fact, let's just, you know, hold your place here and turn there and look at it. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. He talks about us being made something. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, it says, "For he has made him to be sin for us." And so that's why he was made a curse, because he was made sin. And it was the sin that was cursed. But it was our sin, not his sin. He was made sin. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Personally, he knew no sin. How many believe that happened? Huh? He was made sin. He didn't sin. He didn't deserve punishment or curse or judgment, but he was made sin. Now, I know I'm being redundant, but there's a reason. Did he sin?
No.
Did Jesus sin?
No.
Did he deserve the punishment for sin?
No.
No. But what was he?
Made
sin for us. Keep going. That we might be what? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Did we deserve righteousness?
No.
Did we earn righteousness?
No.
Can we see what I'm saying?
Yes.
But were we what?
Made.
We are, oh child of God, get this. Just as surely as he was made sin, we are made righteous. Don't you doubt it. Don't you question it. I didn't earn it. You didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But we are made. Whew. Righteous. And that makes us accepted in the beloved. That makes us qualified not to be cursed, but to be blessed. The righteous should prosper. The righteous should be protected. The righteous should be advanced and kept and elevated and promoted. The righteous. Well, that's us. Not because we, you know, attained righteousness through our efforts. And see, that's what the religions of the world are attempting to do. You know, they're going to go from this level to this level to this level to this level to enlightenment to another stage of being. No, that's just in their imagination.
Yes.
And you either hear, you know, church-going people sometimes say, "Man, I hope, you know, I hope I've been good enough to get in." I can help you right now. You have not. You have not. If that's what you're counting on, you're in trouble. I'm serious. No, nobody has been good enough. If you have been good enough and done enough good works and good things to get to heaven, then you didn't need Jesus coming for you. You got there on your own. Not a single human being gets there on their own. Jesus said, "Nobody comes to the Father except by me." And if you say, "Well, I didn't know all that. I was just trying to be good." That's why I'm talking to you. There's only one way, and that's faith in Jesus. And you receiving the free gift of righteousness. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. The free gift of salvation. So pray it out loud with me. Say, "Father God,
I'm not counting
on my good works
to be saved,
to go to heaven.
I'm acknowledging
I can't save myself.
I couldn't be good enough
to deserve heaven.
But you sent Jesus,
and he took my place,
and he was made sin
with my sin,
and I receive
salvation.
I receive
the finished work of Christ,
and that you raised him from the dead.
Jesus,
you are my Lord,
you are my Savior,
you have made me righteous.
Thank you
for saving me.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you did that from your heart, now you can know that you know you are saved.
Yes.
Not trying to be, not hope that you are, you are. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are already counted a citizen of heaven.
Yes.
And when you breathe your last, you will go straight out of your body to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better than being here. And so shall we ever be with Him. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But it all happened, like we read in Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That's what happened when He was on the cross. He became a curse. The cross is not a pretty place. The ugliness of sin and the full brunt of judgment fell there. And then the following 3 days and nights. Oh, but He was raised from the dead, free from it all, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Alive and soon to return, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But in the meantime, between here and now, here and then, in the here and now, you and I need to know that we know we are redeemed. Come on, say it again. I am.
I am.
I know I am.
I know I am.
I believe I am. I'm fully persuaded.
I'm
completely convinced.
Christ
has
redeemed me
from the curse of the law.
I don't have to have it.
I refuse to have it.
I'm redeemed.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, our time's up today, but that was worth shouting about, don't you think? So let's say it like we do sometimes. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith. Say that again. I am strong in faith. You're what? You're what? I am. Are you now? I'm strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we'll see you again soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.